Good morning, everyone. Let's stand up and worship the Lion and the Lamb this morning.
Thank you.
knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb, and every knee will bow before Him. And every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb, and every knee will bow before Him.
Come and behold him. Isn't he fascinating? Come and behold him. Lost in his majesty. Come and behold him. Isn't he captivating? We'll keep on singing for all of eternity. Come and behold him. Isn't he fascinating? Come and behold him. He's lost in his majesty. Come and behold him. Isn't he captivating? We'll keep on singing all of eternity. Come and behold him. Isn't he fascinating? Come and behold him. Lost in his majesty. Come and behold him. Isn't he captivating? We'll keep on singing.
magnify you, Lord Jesus. You are the fairest of 10,000 to our soul. Yours is the name named above every name. And we honor you, Lord Jesus, our King, our Master, our Savior. Thank you that you gave your life on the cross to redeem us from our sins. Thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit, who never leaves us nor forsakes us. Thank you for your goodness poured out upon us, Father. Thank you for help and strength to be here today. And we speak blessings on all those gathered here in this moment. And Lord, we bless our brothers and sisters and friends who are gathering across this Tennessee Valley and other fellowships this morning. Bless them. May they know your glory, your power. May this be a day of salvation across this region. And Lord, we are so grateful that you are merciful to us, that you pour your grace out upon us, enabling us to do what we're incapable of doing in and of ourselves. Lord, where would we be? Who would we be? What would we have without you? So we bless you this morning. As we gather to worship, we declare, Lord Jesus, you are worthy. Say that with me. You are worthy, Lord Jesus. So good to us. Father, I pray your blessing on the presence of those who are here. Thank you that they chose to be here today. Every gift given this morning throughout this past week, Lord, thank you for those gifts. Bless those gifts given. Multiply them. Multiply the gift. Bless the giver as well. Use what is given to bring honor and glory to yourself. Thank you for those who sacrifice. Thank you for those who serve, Lord. And Lord, we pray for those who do not yet know you. May we so live our lives. May this congregation be so moved by your Spirit that we would be faithful witnesses of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And we declare over our region, Jesus saves. Jesus heals. Jesus delivers. Come one and come all to know the one who has conquered death, hell, and the grave through his death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus. 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 In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to greet one another. And after that, we're going to have a special time of dedicating some children to the Lord. And then we'll have some announcements and you can hear the word today. Again, thanks for coming out early on this cold morning. May God warm your hearts. And take a moment, share a greeting, say a hello to someone around you. Thanks for being here today. Happy Sunday morning, everybody. How are you doing? Again, thank you for your presence with us today. God bless each and every one of you. Well, it's always exciting to pray over some little ones, and we schedule these from time to time. But in a moment, I'm going to be inviting Tony and Tara and their children to come up. But Tara shared with us recently, she's facing some pretty serious surgery later this week and will be in recovery for a while. But she wanted to have her little ones dedicated. She and Tony did before that. So we're getting to be a part of that today. And so as I'm going to ask Hunter and Taylor and Alan to come with your mommy Tara and daddy Tony. Come on up here. And we're going to be praying over them in just a moment. And I'm going to ask Pastors Gary and Susie to come because I know you have been really involved in ministering to this family, and we thank God for that. If you guys would just come and stand right here. Hey, Tony, how are you today? Good to see you. Y'all can stand here. Look at this lovely family. Would you welcome them, please? Yes. Good to have you here. And I see you got some of your friends and family here, too. We welcome all of you. Thank you for being here today. Now, when we do this, this is basically a commitment on the part of parents to say, we want our children to be raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So, Tony, I'm going to ask you, and then Tara, is this your desire to raise these children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord?
Yes, it is.
Absolutely.
Amen. And we have a responsibility to join them in praying for their children and love them, support them, and encourage them as well. So, Gary and Susie, if you'll come over, if y'all step forward a little bit, and I'll let them stand behind you. And Mickey, come join me, please. And what we're going to do is we're going to lay hands on them and pray for them. And so I'm going to ask the congregation now at this time, would you stand back up with us? And before we conclude, I'm going to ask you to stretch your hand this way and join us in praying out loud something over this family, okay? All right, let's pray. Father God, in the glorious name of Jesus, we thank you for this family. And Lord, I pray for Tony that you'd bless him, Lord, as a spiritual leader in his family. Anoint him, Lord, empower him, give him wisdom and discernment and discretion, Lord, in his leadership. Bless him. And Tara, the mother, Lord, as she nurtures and encourages and raises these children, Lord, we pray that your hand would be upon her, that her mother heart, Lord, would just pour out love, and that these little ones, Lord, as I lay my hands on them, I pray that your grace would abound upon their lives, Lord, upon Hunter and Taylor and Alan. I pray that your Holy Spirit would always lead and guide them when they have important decisions in their life, that they would know what they need to do. I pray that your angels would surround them about. We declare the angel of the Lord encamps around about those who fear him. And I pray, Lord, that their extended family would also be those who speak into their life and encourage their journey with you. May they obey you, walk with you always, and may your destiny, Lord, your gifts, your callings on their life come to full fruition, that they would be favored and prospered before God and man. Supernaturally protect them, provide them, for them, strengthen them, and help them in every way needed. And Lord, may the grace and mercy in your throne room be poured out on this family in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, congregation, would you just stretch your hands this way, and would you repeat after me, please? In the name of Jesus, Tony and Tara and children, we bless you. May God go with you. Be your help. Be your strength. And be your wisdom to raise your family in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. In Jesus' name. And we all said, amen. God bless you. Let's give the Lord a hand. And again, thank you so much for being here. And we have a... a certificate that we want to present for each of the children, and I'll give this to Mom. You can take that and keep that, frame it, whatever. But again, thank you for being with us this morning. You may be seated. Mickey.
Well, good morning, and we do welcome you today. Thanks for being here. If you're a first-time guest or maybe first time in a while, we'd encourage you to stop immediately after the service right in the front of the building at the Welcome Center and pick up a gift bag. Has some cookies and other things in it. Just say thanks for being here. And we also do thank you for partnering with us in giving. And we remind you of the ways that you can give. You can text to give. There are boxes right here in the Worship Center and in the Commons area where you can give, as well as online and on our church app and at gracehouse.info. And for those of you who've been coming and you feel God leading you to become a part of Grace House, if you confess Christ as your Savior and you've been baptized, if you'll let any of our leaders know after the service, we'd love to talk to you about that. And if you haven't been baptized, we have a baptism coming up. You can sign up in the Commons area, and we will notify you of the date of that baptism, as well as small groups that are kicking off this week. And there are kiosks out in the Commons area, and some of our small group pastors will be out there after the service to help you. You can sign up for a small group right there on the kiosk if you'd like to, and there's other information on this kiosk. But that would send a message to the small group leader and let them know you're interested about in the group, and they'll be in touch with you. You also can find those on the app and at gracehouse.info. Thanks for being with us today.
Well, we had our men's rally yesterday morning at the new building. We had 57 men show up in 20-degree weather, and we had an awesome time. And amen. Thank you, men. And we had numbers of other men who could not be there because of other commitments and so forth. And so when you put those together, we had a large portion of our guys who showed up, had a great time, and we're all excited. Ladies, you need to know there's going to be a Grace House Women's Rally coming up at the new building, but we're going to really bless you, and it'll probably be three weeks or so, and there will be heat in the building. So your opportunity is coming. Thank you so much. The work is progressing on the building, and God is good. Thank you so much for your faithfulness and being a part of that. Well, I've been in a new series now for a few weeks, and we have, in this series, we're talking about seven superpowers. Actually, more than that, but we're covering seven, and we've talked about God's grace, His outrageous grace, how God gives us grace so that we'll have the supernatural ability to do His will in our lives. Then we talked about death-defying courage. There are times when we're just called to confront our fears and to do what's right and move forward. And when we do, God's courage is given us, and it becomes a superpower to enable us once again to move forward in His purposes. And last week, we talked about the joy of being able to serve a God who moves mountains. And we talked about mountain-moving faith, how that we are called to place our faith in a God who created the mountains, who can move the mountains, and how we can speak to mountains, and we get God's word in our heart and begin speaking it out of our mouth, then supernatural things start happening. But today, we're going to be talking about another superpower, and it's the superpower of generosity. And as a matter of fact, I'll be talking about hilarious generosity, and you'll know why before we finish today. So, Father God, I pray that You'd bless the preaching of Your Word. Open our hearts to receive. Holy Spirit, be our teacher. And Lord, we're learning through this series that in order to live the life You're calling us to live, we need Your help. But You haven't left us helpless. Today, help us to
be like you and to grow in our generosity. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple of years ago, we had a special meeting here, and there was another pastor and his wife from a neighboring state who were in the audience. And it was shared in one of the nights of the meeting, actually it's one of Brother James's conferences here, about how we were building a new facility in a new building. Well, the week after the conference, I received a check in the mail for Grace House. That pastor and his wife who had been here, when they heard that we were taking a step of faith to build a new facility, God spoke to their heart. And they, on behalf of their congregation, they wrote a check and sent us a check for $10,000 to sow into our new facility. You see, that couple understood the power of generosity. Not only that, that congregation had been taught about the power of being generous givers. The Bible has so much to say about this. And this is one of the superpowers that I felt led to talk about in this series. Because if you have not learned about the power of generosity, then there's a large area of your life that is not being affected by the power that God wants to pour on you, the favor that God wants to pour on you, the help that God wants to offer you. Because there is no one more generous than He. As a matter of fact, our salvation itself is an expression of the generosity of God. The fact that He loves us, He wanted to bless us. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Top that. You see, every expression of generosity in the life of a believer is an expression and manifestation of the goodness of God in the earth. We're being like our Father when we are generous. And we're going to look at a scripture this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'll be putting it on the screen for you. I normally use the New King James Version, but today I'm going to use the New Living Translation. I like the way this is worded, and it's faithful to the text as well. I'm going to read just a few verses, but I want you to read that whole chapter when you have time later and during this coming week, because Paul is writing to the believers in Corinth and reminding them. He had shared with them about a need in the believers' life back in Jerusalem. They were in very tough times. And the church at Corinth says, we'll take an offering and we'll send a gift. And they hadn't followed through. So Paul said, I'm sending a team back there. When we get there, make sure this offering has been collected, because I've been telling people everywhere I've gone what you said you were going to do. So follow through on your commitment so you won't be embarrassed and I won't be embarrassed. And then in the middle of him pouring this out and sharing this with them, he shares this beginning with verse 6. He said, Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. He continues on, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. What a powerful truth in God's Word. And part of my responsibility as your pastor is to share this with you. It pays to be generous. And you suffer when you are not. Now, There are several things that I want to bring to your attention from this text that hopefully will be helpful. And I want to remind you, the Bible says this, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. Anything that's truly good finds its source in God Himself. God is good. And so when it comes down from Him, those good gifts, that's from Him. That's Him being generous with us. But not everybody is generous, and there's a reason that people are not. So let me talk just a moment about greed versus generosity. I believe that's a backdrop for what Paul is saying when he says the farmer who will only sow a few seeds, he's going to get a small crop. But the one who sows lots of seeds, is generous in the seeds that he sows, he'll reap a large crop. There's a difference between being greedy and generous. And I believe that's hinted at in this scripture. Greed finds its root in the curse. Really, in the curse of poverty. Before man fell into sin, Adam and Eve were in a garden. They had everything they needed. They didn't even have to contend with thorns and thistles and weeds. They didn't need any Roundup. Their tilling the soil and tending the garden did not involve the degree of labor that it now requires, because that was prior to the curse. But when the curse came, even the earth itself began to groan and strain under the burden of the curse that had been released because of mankind's failure and sin. And greed is always rooted in the curse. Now, a greedy person really is a person who's bound, because the curse brings bondage. Poverty, the poverty spirit, is the fear of lack. It's rooted in fear. I won't have enough. I'm not going to make it. I'm going to hold on to everything I get. And greed, when a person's greedy, they can squeeze a dollar so tight that the eagle screams. Have the mentality, I'm going to get all I can all I get, and then sit on the can. And they're afraid to release any of that. There's no generosity. And by the way, being greedy really has nothing, or even having a spirit of poverty on your life, has nothing to do with how much money you may or may not have. There can be people who have very little that this world offers and very little provision that can be extremely greedy, and there can be people who have more than they could ever spend that are extremely greedy, because it has nothing to do with how much you have. It's the idea that no matter how much you have, it's never enough to feel safe. John D. Rockefeller, who was the first billionaire ever known in the United States of America, he made his wealth by founding Standard Oil back in the early 1900s. He was once asked, how much money does it take to have enough? And his answer was, just a little bit more. Never satisfied. Never enough. I'm going to protect it. I'm going to keep it. That's greed. That's poverty. The fear of lack, regardless of how much one may have. But that's not God's way. Paul clearly says the farmer who sows generously is going to reap generously. There's the law of sowing and reaping. Not harvesting and keeping. It's sowing and reaping. Every farmer knows some of those seeds, in order to have future harvest, has to be sown back into the ground. And the Bible teaches us every good and perfect gift comes from the Father, and out of what we receive, we're to sow generously. Greed versus generosity. Now, let me talk about something else. A reluctant giver versus a rejoicing giver. Because this scripture teaches us, Our attitude in our giving is important. Paul even says, don't give reluctantly or under pressure. And if you've been going here long, you know we're not an arm-twisting church. I don't believe in trying to manipulate people. I don't. There's not any high-pressure sales pitch here. But the truth of the Scripture is, we need to have the right attitude about giving. There's a difference between a reluctant giver and a rejoicing giver. The Bible says here, God loves a cheerful giver. The Greek word there for cheerful is the word hilaros. It's where the English word hilarious comes from, hence being a hilarious giver. But you do need to realize the original Greek word didn't have the full idea that it's grown into in the language of hilarious being. It's like comical and funny and unglued and laughter. But it does have the seed thought in it that you're happy and you're glad about giving. And we'll see more about that word in just a moment. But I want you to see the contrast here between being reluctant. Like, I don't know about this, but I don't want to embarrass myself, so here. No, a rejoicing giver. God loves a cheerful giver. I remember a story I heard a number of years ago about a little country church, and their church building was in need of repair. The ceiling was and the roof was just really in bad shape, and they had a very wealthy man in the community that would occasionally attend the church. And one Sunday, while they were together at church, there he was sitting back there in the pew, and the worship service was going on, and all of a sudden they heard a cracking noise, and a big chunk of plaster fell off the ceiling and hit this wealthy man square atop the head. Dust flew. The man jumped to his feet, shaking that the crumbled up sheetrock off his head, and said, "I pledge I'll give $10 to repair this church." Someone in the back said, "Hit him again, Lord." Well, sometimes we need to have a wake-up call and be reminded God calls us to be generous. And this shouldn't be something that we struggle about doing. We should realize this is an opportunity to demonstrate God's heart to the world. The great commandments are love God, love people. And in one way or the other, when we're generous, we're showing that we love God because He's blessed us, and we love people because we want to bless them. A reluctant giver versus a rejoicing giver. Let me point something else out to you. That is first fruits versus leftovers. Old Testament has a whole lot to say about this. I love Proverbs chapter 3. It's one of my favorite Proverbs. When you get to verses 9 and 10 in Proverbs 3, it says, "Honor the Lord with all your possessions and the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine." What a promise. What a promise. To honor the Lord with the first. In other words, He gets what's first of our increase instead of the leftovers. Paul said in the scripture I read, he says, you must decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who loves cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. If you give Him of the first fruits, you'll be so blessed that you'll then have more left over to give others. But if you start with, if I have anything left over, then I'll bless somebody. No, God first, the blessing comes, and then out of that abundance, you have even more to give. In the book of Malachi, it talks about bringing your blemished sacrifices. The idea is, I'll give something I don't need anymore. Or I'll give you something I don't want for myself. Sometimes you see that in donations where somebody wants to give something they've already worn out. But when it comes to doing things for the Lord, we need to be excellent and give Him our best. Our best. First fruits are important. Last week I announced, you know, when Mark and Robin was here, we're sowing $5,000 as a church into that work they're doing in Guatemala. When they were building the new church there out in the village where people had never heard the gospel, and they were building a new church there, we sowed $10,000 into that, and now we're sowing more. And that we believe in that here, and that's important. Now, let's talk a moment about the generous giver. And I'm going to share three things with you. We're going to go through these. We're going to talk about being that committed giver, the spontaneous giver, and the growing giver. We want to be all three of these things. All three of them. Now, the committed giver. Paul talked about what you decided in your heart. And he was referencing a special offering. I don't believe it. This is not a reference to what they would take up to meet the needs there where they were. This was a special offering. He said you need to decide in your own heart what you're going to give, and you need to have the right heart about giving what you give. But the Bible, when you see the fullness of teaching on giving, we're called to be committed givers. This is the person who has overcome the struggle of whether or not they're going to be a faithful giver to the kingdom, to the Lord's work. That's something you have to decide in your heart. This is not giving based on a feeling. This is not about giving based on an emotion. Some people give when they see a commercial or they hear something that makes them emotional. The committed giver is the one who's learned not to give by feelings, but to give by faith. This is what God's Word teaches. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. And some say, well, that's Old Testament. Well, I beg to differ with you. 400 years before God gave that Old Testament law to Moses, we see that Abraham, the father of faith that shows us how to live by faith, he's offering a tithe to the Lord. As a matter of fact, in the first family, the first man, Adam and Eve, the first kids they have, the story opens up with those boys bringing their offerings to before the Lord. Isn't that something? The very first family understood that part of their worship involved bringing an offering to the Lord. Now, there was some theological significance in what they brought. But what I'm saying is that was a practice. They already knew, basically from the very dawn of civilization, very dawn of civilization, that they were to give to the Lord. The committed giver decides in their heart. They've settled in their heart that tithing is of the Lord. A tithe means one-tenth. The Lord blesses you with $100. The good steward says, Lord, this is where I start. You get a tenth of this. Mickey and I, years ago, I mean, right after we were first married, I mean, we look back in those days, I think our annual income was like $8,000. I mean, we weren't making hardly anything, but you could look at our checks and we were faithfully tithing to the Lord. And He's always been faithful to us. And it's like week by week, we're not struggling like, well, are we going to give a check? We're going to give anything? You know, we got these extra bills coming up this month. And this is not to call undue attention to us. I'm personally testifying to you that this is a decision we made early on in our married life. We were going to give to the Lord. We were going to give where we were serving, where we were being fed, and then we would give offerings beyond that to other causes and other needs. And God's always been faithful. There's not a week-by-week struggle of whether or not we're going to give. That decision was made years ago. It's settled in our heart. We give by faith. And by the way, Grace House, and most of the churches you see up and down the road, we're all ministries of faith. We don't have an endowment where somebody's given us $10 million and we're living off the interest as a congregation. We don't have a trust fund that we draw from. We believe God moves upon people's heart by His Spirit, and out of that place of faith in their heart, they're faithfully giving week by week. And that's been happening now. We're heading toward our 14th year. And God's been so faithful. And 4 years ago, we stepped out in faith. I shared this with our guys yesterday, that our leaders, you know, we could have said, we're just going to coast. We've got a nice place. God's blessing the church. But we're not wired that way. In order to accomplish what God's called us to accomplish, we're going to that next place so that we can fully engage everything God's calling us to do. But that's faith. And it's just amazed me through the years how God has people that are committed givers. And God bless you. Now, statistically, you're looking at 75 to 80% of what's given is usually given by 20, 25% of the people. Thank God for faithful, consistent. The word hilarious here in the original Greek language, I'm going to read the word study. It means propitious and disposed, because satisfied, describing someone who is cheerfully ready to act, already approving of what they're going to do. Goes on to say, they're already persuaded about what they're going to do. It means they're already won over. They're already inclined to do this. In other words, it's been settled. This is a done deal. This is what I'm going to do. They're committed. They're committed. And the Bible says that His seed will not be found lacking or begging bread. God is a good Father. We just read it even in the Old Testament about give your first fruits and your barns will be filled with plenty. I believe in prosperity in this sense. To be truly prosperous means you will always have what you need to do God's will in your life. It's God's will we pay our bills. It's God's will we provide for our families. God will be faithful. It's God's will that we tithe, that we give. God will be faithful to supply all of our need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. This is the committed giver who's glad to give. They've settled in their heart. They know this is God's way, and they trust God's going to be faithful to keep His promise. Listen to this scripture out of the book of Malachi, the closing messenger that shares during that 400 years of silence between the Old Testament and the New Testament, beginning with verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse. See there, that poverty, holding back on God, it says. For you have robbed me. God takes it personally. Even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. They all lived in the agricultural setting. We would say today, so that your paychecks won't stop. You won't lose your job. You won't be found without income. He said, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. Isn't that something? God says, put me to the test. You believe God's ever flunked the test? You believe God's ever failed to keep his promise? And this is God Almighty Himself says, you put me to the test and see if I won't pour out a blessing on you. Not only that, I'll devour the devourer, so the cursed, you won't be cursed. And so it's really a call to be generous, to be a committed giver. And in your tithes and your offerings, and a spontaneous giver. Very quickly, the spontaneous giver is the person who, like when there's a special need or a special offering, I mean, you could easily say, well, I give my tithe, but there are times when God will even call us beyond that. And to be able to hear the voice of the Spirit and say, I've had times, and Mickey and I have, when the Lord's laid on our heart that someone had a need in their life, and we would secretly sow into that. And you're able to give in secret, and God will reward you openly. And we've had times when we've had a need, and you know often how God meets our needs? Through people that are obedient to Him. It's just amazing to me how God will lay on somebody's heart, sow into you just what you need, or you'll go to the store and the thing that you're needing, I mean, you really need it, and you don't have money to buy, well, there it is on sale for a fourth of what it normally costs. I don't believe those are just random things. I think that's God directing your steps, bringing His blessing into your life, helping you. Because I'm telling you, if you're a tither, you'll see more blessing on your life by giving God 10% and you living on the 90 than you will living on the 100% without God's blessing. It's just smart to obey God's word. We get to do this. He says, I'm telling you, put me to the test and I will testify that God is faithful. And the last thing is a growing giver. No matter how generous you are, no matter how much you believe this and you walk in it, you're going to discover God will continue to stretch you. Mickey and I know of a young couple. They don't live here in Florence, but we know them well. And they're faithful tithers and they're faithful givers. Their church was in a time of construction. And God moved upon their hearts to double what they gave. So they decided out of everything we receive, we're going to give 20%. They were believing God for things like for the mom to be able to stay home with the children, for the dad to get a better job, to have a new house, these kind of things for the little ones that would come. And there's even more to it than that, but here's what I'm saying. They stepped into that by faith, and by the end of that year, all these things started shifting. He got a big promotion. His salary more than made up for his wife, who could now quit her job, and on it goes. It was just amazing, and I heard the young man even share he believes the Lord has given him the gift of giving. He's excited about giving, listening to the Lord, and obeying the Lord. He believes that God is blessing him to be a blessing, and because God can trust him with that, he just keeps blessing him even more, which prompts him to even do even more. The famed J.C. Penney, apparently his descendants have not followed in his path, but when he started, he grew his company. The more it grew, the more he gave. And they said by the time his company was up and really prospering, he was giving 90% of every dollar he made into the kingdom. God just kept blessing his socks off. You can't outgive God. His bucket's bigger than your bucket. His shovel's bigger than your shovel. His gold mine's bigger than anyone you have. Listen, the cattle of 1,000 hills belongs to Him. The earth and the fullness thereof belong to the Lord. And He says, put me to the test. He says, I love people that get excited about giving and have settled in their heart. They're not being pressured. They've settled in their heart. You see, the Holy Spirit's the one that begins to move upon us and will convict us when we're not doing this to take that step. That first step begins somewhere. Well, I don't think I can give 10%. Well, are you giving 1%? Now, the minimum you ought to aim at is 10%. But give something. Put some seed in the ground for your future harvest. And by the way, I'm specifically relating this to our giving, and often it can come across financially. But it's every. Are you faithful? Are you generous in encouraging people? Or do they have to reach some almost unreachable high bar up here before you can encourage them for doing something? Be a generous encourager. Are you generous with your wisdom? God's taught you a lot. And I'm not talking about going around meddling your nose in everybody's business. but someone asks you something, are you really sharing with them things that will help them grow? Most of us here, hopefully, want to improve. We want to do what we do better. And by cross-pollinating what we've been blessed with one another, we share that with each other. We grow as a family. We grow in our excellence. We grow in our understanding and our wisdom and knowledge. The generous giver is a committed giver, a spontaneous giver, and a growing giver. I'm amazed here. We have people that don't even live in our area and are unable to attend this church that faithfully give to this church. We have some people that own businesses and they're not even here. But God has spoken to them. I want to sow into that church because I believe what God's calling them to do. I encourage you, don't be that person who comes and receives all the time, enjoys the heat in the room that's being paid for by the giving of others, that enjoys being able to see your Bibles because the light bill has been paid, that has facilities for our children. Don't be the person that's just a consumer of God's goodness and blessings. Be someone who's investing in what God's doing. Get it settled in your heart that this is what God's Word teaches us. This is one of your superpowers, believers, to be generous. Put God to the test. Open up your heart. Open up your checkbook, your wallet, and sow into the kingdom and see if God will not pour out a blessing upon you that can't be contained. And His blessings comes in a multitudinous variety of flavors, so to speak. You cannot outgive God. I believe this with all my heart. I practice this in my life. And I can tell you, God is faithful. God is faithful. The truth of the matter is, everyone in the room, because you live in the United States of America, you're in at least the top 5% of the wealthiest people on planet Earth. We don't realize that by global comparison. We're all so extremely blessed. I want you to stand with me. And as you stand before God this morning, I challenge you to examine your heart. What's missing in your life because you're missing out on this truth? What's not happening that could be happening concerning God's activity over your life? Because maybe you've gotten under that poverty instead of having been liberated by the victorious message of the Scriptures. We're called to freedom. We're to give liberally. We're to be a generous people. There's breakthrough that you will begin to see in different areas of your life. Anytime we find an area of Scripture that we begin to get the revelation of it and we begin to feel that the Holy Spirit quickening us that, you know, hey, I'm not measuring up here, but I'm going to take a step by faith and step into this. You're going to begin to see things change because God watches over His Word to perform it, and God will confirm it in your life. And I challenge you to heed these Scriptures today. Father, thank You for blessing our socks off in so many ways. You're so generous. You're so good. May Your Holy Spirit now breathe upon our hearts through Your Word this morning. Make us come alive to these truths about being hilarious givers, to be so full of generosity, to be like You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for the privilege to sow into the nations, into this community, into the ministry here at Grace House. Thank You, Lord, for clothes to wear, a means to get here today, to have transportation. Thank You for food in our pantries. You're so good to us, Lord. Would you take a moment and just personally in your heart, would you just begin thanking God for His blessing on your life, the provisions in your life? Let's not be people who take credit for those things. Let's give Him glory for how good He is, how much He's blessed us. What do we have that He's not enabled us to have? Just begin to thank Him. Fill this atmosphere with thanksgiving, with praise. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Some of our staff and leaders are coming right now on either side of this platform. They'll be here to pray for you if you have need of prayer. If you've never given your life to Christ and you want to become a Christian, come on up. Let us talk to you and pray with you. If you have a special need of prayer, maybe healing in your body, some need, come and we'll pray with you. If we'll have some other of our altar workers to come and be over here. If you need prayer, I'm going to dismiss in just a moment. These will be here to pray with you. Would you meditate on these things that I've shared today? Please receive this truth deep into your heart. Let God be true, every man a liar. Father, thank You for Your Word today. Thank You for the privilege to gather and worship. Thank You for peace, joy, grace, and mercy. Lord, help us at whatever level of generosity we are. Help us to grow. Help us to respond even more to Your generosity to us. Now, look this way one moment. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, go forth and be generous to someone today. Be generous throughout this week. Let's be givers and not takers. Those who bless, not those who curse. Let's be light in the darkness. In the name of Jesus, let's go change the world. Amen. Thanks for being here today. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. Thank You, Jesus. This altar is open if you need prayer.
By You, Lord, I'm amazed.